started a series 3 weeks ago called H3, Happy, Happy, Happy. It was based upon, some of the, I remember Doug Dynasty, and that's one of the father, I think it was Phil. Phil used to say happy, happy, happy all the time. And so we really kind of, Pastor Kathy and I really said, we're going to focus in on that subject of being happy. What makes you happy? And like we, you've learned, like last week, Pastor Kathy was talking about what makes you happy. And, the answer is no thing makes us happy. There's not a thing does not make us happy, because that thing will get old. That thing will just, just have problems with it. You're always going to need to replace it. If you are happy, it always involves a who or a to. It involves somebody or some individuals. And so, how many of you, being honest, how many of you participated in Pastor Kathy's happy challenge, 30-day happy challenge, right? Anybody remember? A couple individuals. And so maybe I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot all about that. Well, jump in and just, continue to keep going, because I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be great for everybody to be intentional about being nice, about being, about being happy. And, and that's the honest to gosh truth. Do something. That's what she said. Do something kind for someone or a cause, or the community. Basically show the love of God. And so when you walk through the doors of this church, you really do see the mission of our church on the wall. It's, it's to know God. We believe that we should know God. That is primary in our lives. I mean, from the beginning of creation, knowing God is vital and it's important. Find freedom. And that's, once you know God, that God desires us to walk free from our past, free from the wrong things we've done. And even from the point of free of the bad decisions that we made as we're walking with God, that the blood of Jesus has caused and made a way that we can go to him, ask for forgiveness, and that we can have grace and mercy follow us all the days of our life, that we know God, we find freedom. There's freedom serving Jesus, and it's not condemnation, it's not shackles, but there's freedom in that because of the promises that are in the Word of God. So know God, find freedom. And when you do that, you discover your purpose. I mean, so many individuals grow old not knowing why they are here on this earth. What's my purpose? Why am I here? Am I just a result of an accident, or am I a result of this or that? No, knowing exactly why you're here, that's why discovering your purpose is so important. Each and every one of us, we have a general purpose as children of God, but also God's given you individual gifts and God's given you individual talents. And so that's why when you learn about, discovering your purpose, you can focus in on those things, and you can focus in on those gifts and talents, and then be directed on where you can use those gifts, where you can use those talents in an atmosphere like church, where people are gonna believe the best. And if you mess up, man, you got your church family there like, hey, we love you. This is, and individuals that keep believing in you, and it's because you're not gonna discover your purpose or walk in that if you're not confident in who you are in Christ. That's why it's so important to know God. That's so important to find freedom, because when you realize that what Jesus has done for you, what Jesus has done for us, you get to walk in that freedom. You'll know who you are in Christ, which is such a big challenge within the church world, is children of God knowing who they are in Christ, their identity, knowing what the Bible says about them and what the Bible says about you. And that you know who you are in Christ. And it's not based upon who you're married to. It's not based upon who your children are or your grandkids are. It's not based upon where you work. It's not based upon where you live. It's not based upon your money intake or not. It's not based on the color of your skin or how tall or short or it doesn't matter who you understand you have an identity, and that is who you are in Christ. And so you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and then when you're doing that, you get to walk it out and you're making a difference. That's the mission. And when Pastor Kathy and I started, you know, we stepped in. It's almost 4 years. I believe it'll be in May. 4 years. You know, we started with the mission. It may sound backwards, but we knew if we were going to get everybody on board, and you know, because the mission is how you get to the vision. And so, the vision of our church, where we're going to, where we're driving at, the target, honestly, is simply that we, you know, Jesus said it. We talked about it before. We've talked about it a lot. We weave it in a lot of things. But when Nicodemus asked Jesus, you know, of all the commandments that are great, all the great commandments, which is the greatest among them, he was trying to trap Jesus, and we all know that they were trying to trap Jesus. But basically, he gave us some incredible principles, pillars of the New Testament church, and he said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. Let's stop right there. You love God in all those areas. Jesus made sure he hit every area of our life. You know, I love the Lord, you know, all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's every area of our life. That means every area of our life, you know, has the light of the word on it. There's nothing hidden from Jesus. There's nothing hidden from God. Because that's when we're truly walking in our purpose. That's when we're truly loving God. See, when you really truly love God, you let him in every area of your life. And I think lots of times single individuals, teenagers, maybe have a challenge with this, because when you married, you know every area of your life is exposed, right? Come on, all the married people, yeah, because I don't look this good when I wake up in the morning, okay? And so it takes some work, understand? So she has to wake up to that. And then so when we walk in, you know, when we got married, I'm like, oh, yeah, when we're dating off and on for 11 years, you know our story, 11 years we dated off and on. Yeah, we saw the best of each other all the time. And then all of a sudden, bam, she sees me in the morning, and it's like, oh, Lord Jesus, help me, all right. You know, and you know the ins and outs. There's nothing hidden from a spouse. At least there shouldn't be. Okay? There shouldn't. That's my little sigh. Okay? So, my sigh, you know, from Duck Dynasty. Okay? There's nothing that there should be anything hidden, you know, in our relationship with our spouse. And so, but that's the way God wants us to be in our relationship with him. Nothing's hidden from him. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. That's love God. Know God. Yeah, love God and then love people. That's the second aspect. Love God, right? Love people. That's what he said. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, strength. And then the second is likened to it. There's no way you can separate these two after this. Jesus, you know, is just as important, he said. The first is just as important. You love God and you love people. We have to understand that the Bible talks about that Jesus would leave the 99 to go after the one that's lost. That's how much he loves people. While a lot of us will focus on the 99, well, we got to look. This is the majority, so we're going to take care of the majority. But if we're doing things right, we have individuals already raised up to take care of the majority, and then we go after the one because it's important. What's important to God is people that don't know Jesus, souls. So we love God, love others, love God, love people. So vital. And that's the thought and the vision is that we have to stay on target. You love God, love people. And then this is why this series is what we're doing, is we choose joy. So many miserable people are in the body of Christ. And like, why would anyone want that Jesus? Being honest. I remember, see, I was raised I went through the charismatic movement when I was younger. You know, my dad was, he was involved in churches, and when he was a big, when you talk about identifying as a church hopper, someone to just boom, 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 you know, just going to different churches, church, because maybe he didn't like something someone said, he didn't like someone that looked at him, you know, he didn't like what the pastor said, constantly, he's church hopping all the time. I grew up in that, but I also grew up in the charismatic movement, and so, you know, when we're talking about choosing joy, I remember hearing stories and testimonies when somebody would ask Jesus into their heart, and they meant it. That there was a countenance change on their face. Their face practically changed. They were happy because they had hope. And so, what kind of Jesus are we portraying? Are we, and from the aspect of you know, when we choose joy. And, you know, it's not about being perfect, but I think that it's being intentional. Amen. You got to be intentional in today's day and age. We have to be intentional. We have to say, okay, I am going to choose joy today. I am going to love people today. You know? We were with a family last night, and we had dinner with the family, and I was laughing and having a good time because we were talking about they had teenagers, we have teenagers, how some were the introverts and what's it, extroverts, as they call it, you know, and stuff. And we were laughing because, oh, yeah, there's some in our family and blah, blah, blah. And that's how God created us, but it doesn't matter if we're an introvert, extrovert. It matters is that we still love God. We still love others, and we still choose joy. That's what should draw people to Jesus. Like, what's different about you? What is different? Why in the world are you happy all the time? You know, and everyone knows there's people that are happy. My wife's a happy person in the morning. My daughter's a happy person in the morning. I'm not a happy person in the morning. I'm not. You know, and I don't have anything. You know, you ever see those little memes that, you know, it's a little monkey that just says, oh, that first sip of coffee that touches my soul, you know. I don't drink coffee, so I don't got nothing, you know, in the morning time, you know. Because I like the smell of it, I don't like the taste of it. And so, you know, I'm not a coffee drinker. And so, you know, I've got to put on some praise and worship to get my happy face on. And that's my, how I change that, but I have to choose joy. We must make that decision to choose joy. Be happy. Amen. Well, you got nothing to be happy about. Well, ain't nothing going to change if you don't be happy. It's a perception. You'll say, well, that's just like, that's that freaky talk. Name it and claim it, you know? Well, is it better than what you have right now? Just say this the truth. I mean, it's like, you know, it's, try something. We want you to try something different. It's not about naming it and claiming it, because if you know what the Bible says, all you're doing is walking out what the Bible says. The promises of what God said. The promises for the child of God. So really all you're doing is just, you're standing on those promises. And the Bible even talks about remind God of his promises. Right? Remind him. So what is God? Is he Dory from Nemo? Is he, you know, he doesn't remember things? You know, no. He does that so we are intentional. We're intentional about our relationship with God. We're intentional to know the word of God. Because you can't remind God something if you don't remember it yourself. And so it's truly about being intentional. So that's about we're camped on this about being happy. And there's no greater time right now that children of God need to be happy than right now. Because our nation is called the United States of America, but right now we've never been more divided than ever before. And really, we as a church need to not argue and fight and complain, but we need to be united, a united church that rises up to usher in the last great harvest before Jesus comes back. And so the enemies divide and conquer. So if he can get the church divided any more than all what it already is, well, it's a win for him. He prolongs the coming of Christ. Think about that. You know what? I don't want to help that brother out one bit. And so all I want to do is do what God asked me to do, asked us to do. So, you know, love God, love people, choose joy, and then we pursue excellence. Those are the four pillars of our vision. We pursue excellence. Everything we do, we ooze excellence. Ooze excellence. And you're like, oh, well, come on, that's just, now you're just playing now. That's just, you know, no, our Savior, Jesus, was a person of excellence. He oozed excellence. No matter what he did, where he went, he oozed excellence. And so, you know, even to the point when he fed the 5,000, right? The fishes and the loaves and everything. Notice that he, notice one thing that I've always noticed, and I learned this from my dad when he did street ministry, because my dad did street ministry for 12 years on the streets, on Main Street and the boardwalk, old boardwalk, not the new nice one that's been up there for years, but the old boardwalk with the old band shell, and homeless were always all around it, street runaways and everything all around it on the old boardwalk. And one thing I learned from him that he taught me, that Jesus always met the needs of the people before he ministered to them. You know, he never said, okay, everyone, come in. Okay, so if you want to get fed, you know, or you need some clothes, you need to listen to me preach this message or listen to someone preach the message, and then you're forcing them to be there. And I've had the arguments with pastors in the past that said, well, you're going to have the biggest population, the biggest crowd in there. Yeah, but you know what? I never saw Jesus do that before. Unless you're directed specifically under the unction of God, well, guess what? No, you follow the example of Jesus. And so, you know what? Met the needs of the people beforehand. So he fed them first, ministered, and then they just didn't pick up and, you know, see you, bye. You know, he gone. No, he wasn't like that. He told the disciples, go and pick up everything. Clean up, basically. Collect everything. And even to the point where they inventoried what they had left. That's excellence. That's not coincidence. That's excellence. And so, you know, and that's us. You know, that's our target. You know, and so that's the vision, and the know God, find freedom, discover purpose, make a difference. That's the vision. That's the vehicle. We get it there, you know. And so you know, you're just miserable no matter what, or you're a negative Nancy. Well, we have Pastor Nancy, so maybe that's not a good name. Negative Nina. I don't know. Any Ninas in the house? No. Okay. So negative Nina, and you know, you challenge yourself. You know, you can't live behind sarcasm all your life. And so that the Bible says, no, I'm not saying this, the Bible says that the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so, but I'm just called. I'm called to tell people how it is. You ever see those people in church, you know? I'm called to speak the real like Jesus did. I'm called to tell the people how it is, just like Jesus did with the Pharisees. You know, and oh, well, that's great. Well, are you hanging out with lost people as well? Are you spending time with sinners and lost people the way Jesus did? Because you can't just have a Jesus. It's all of Jesus. Okay? All of Jesus. And so it's not really about, you know, well, I have the spirit of discernment, you know. You know, I've heard those people in church. I have the spirit of discernment. Well, if you have the spirit of discernment, it's not about getting up in people's grills and telling them. I learned a long time ago when I stepped in as a youth pastor that if God shows you something about somebody, it's 99% of the time that you're supposed to take it to prayer. And very few times do you have a release about ever going to that individual. But a lot of people get that confused because I got the spirit of discernment on me, Pastor. No, you're missing it about that. You need to pray. You need to pray and make sure that you're not a negative Nina or a Donnie Downer, you know, and this is the truth, you know. And so, as I said, you know, my dad was a part of the church, and he was a big church hopper. That's how we found Family Worship Center. He was hopping, and then he you know, and I was like, I like a church, and I'd say, Dad, are we going to stay here? I was a teenager. No, the pastor says something, blah, 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 and then he'd leave. And then, well, when I got to the point where I was driving, man, we found Family Worship Center. I know those of you that remember Glenn from last week, you know, one of the missionaries that we support, he actually talked about the church in Holly Hill, and that's where I started. You know, I went to one of those services in Holly Hill with my family. It was wife number three for my dad. And so we were there, and I remember that. And so I liked it, and I could drive, so I kept going to Family Worship Center. I kept coming to the Family Worship Center. And so he continued to keep hopping, and just, he wasn't happy. He truly, truly wasn't. And Pastor Kathy would tell you, after we were married some years later, I mean, many, 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 many years, we did it off and on for 11 years, and then we were married. So even after we were married, the happiest my dad ever was is when he hooked up with a church wholeheartedly and said, I'm in this church. I'm not leaving. This is where God put me. And he started thriving. He became like an armor bearer to the pastor. You know, like he just would be there to, you know, hey, I'll help carry your Bible. Anything. I mean, like, and this was a man that always dissed on pastors. This was a man that always found something wrong with the church. Oh, this or that or this or that. You know, never, never, never finding peace or happiness. You know, true peace or happiness. Thriving. And then he makes this church his home. Right, a church, it's not there any longer, but he makes his church his home in Daytona, and then just starts thriving, you know, and growing. We've seen him like so happy. That's why it's so important to be happy, not negative. Because the devil, the enemy, will bring up, if you're like that, he will show you every negative thing about every place to get you away from you truly growing and thriving. And so as we've seen him, he was tithing. I'm telling you what, this man always dealt with financial challenges. But when he was going to do that church and he was tithing regularly, he had finances. Like, I was like, my gosh, Dad, what's going on? And he's like, you know what? I see the blessings of you and Kathy being involved in the church. And I just said, God, that's what I want. He broke one day and just said that to God. And then that was it. Bam. He was involved. And the benefit of that, because he was a Donnie Downer, and so we have to remember, you know, we, you know, a lot of us, I'll say this sentence, you know, when it comes to being happy, what we think about happiness, here's a statement to start us off like this, you know, when we think about happiness, you know, we think like, I thought I knew what would make me happy. I thought I knew what would make me happy, which means you shouldn't believe everything you think. Okay, we shouldn't believe everything we think. Just like they say, don't believe everything you read on the internet, right? Same thing. Don't believe everything you think automatically. You know, we have all made decisions in our lives where we thought to ourselves, I thought this would make me happy. And truly, we were absolutely wrong in that decision. I thought I knew what would make me happy is a statement said by many in marriage counseling and many in divorce court. We have to be careful not to undermine our own happiness. Well, Pastor, you know what the Bible says in John 10:10, that the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. So that's who we're fighting. And you know what? The devil is our enemy. And I would say, yes, you are right. The devil is our enemy. But there is another that can really mess you up in your happiness. There's another. And that other is you. That we can undermine our own happiness with the decisions that we make because we think that's going to make us happy, and it doesn't. And how I know this? Okay, so... All right, how do I know this? How do you know this, John? Well, because you bought it. You leased it. You ate it. You drank it. You smoked it. You dated it. You slept with it. And some of you, you married it. Right? You know, you made that decision yourself. And you think about it, you were the only common denominator in every single one of those decisions. And before we blame others of our unhappiness, we need to make sure that we need to truly make sure that we aren't our own worst enemy. Remember that saying, I am my own worst enemy? We need to make sure that we are not our own worst enemy. The devil doesn't need any help. And so let's make sure that we aren't helping the devil out in wrecking our own life. So that's why it's so important to be a student of the word, right? It's so important. It's so important to have a strong relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't weird. We have to have a strong relationship with the Holy Spirit every day. Because the Bible promises that he will guide us and lead us in our steps. And according to John 16, verse 13, I'll read the Amplified. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he, talking about the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth, full and complete truth, the Bible Amplified says, for he will not speak of his own initiative, but he will speak whatever he hears from the Father, the message regarding the Son, and he will disclose to you what is to come in the future. I love that version of the Amplified. It spells it out. It's not fortune telling or this and that. No, it's just a knowing, do I take this option or that option? And this is a peace on the inside. That's the way we were supposed to be. That's the way we were created to live. You know, and so, you know, and as we learned, you know, John 10:10, I mean, yeah, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, this is Jesus saying this. He says, but I have come, right, to have life and have it to the full. I love the New King James Version says, instead of saying having life to the full, it says the abundant, having life in abundancy of the abundant life. You know, so when it comes to how do we make sure, how do we make sure that we do not we protect our happiness. How do I make the right decision? I believe there's a confusion on two things. A confusion that is around two ideas that cause us to undermine our own happiness. And that, number one, is the difference between happiness and pleasure. Happiness and pleasure. Understand that God created us to have the capacity for both. God created us to have the capacity to experience pleasure, and God created us with the capacity to experience happiness. You know, and so you think about it, God created, and I'm gonna, some people may feel a little uncomfortable, but it's okay. God created us to have sexual pleasure, right? I mean, he said, God made it up. God created sex. Okay, not the porn industry, okay, not Playboy or whatever, back in the day, God created, he made it up toward the end of creation. He's like, hey, I got an idea, you know, and the angels are like, what's that? And like, you wouldn't understand that idea, you know, but he created sex, he created it, you know, and we need to say that in the church, because what's happening is the world is teaching our kids. The world is teaching the adults, and they're getting messed up. Because pastors won't just belly up and just talk about that sex is not dirty, it's not wrong, as long as it's the way God created it to be, and that's in the confines of the marriage between one man and one woman. Okay? It's not with anybody and everybody, okay? It's not a free-for-all. You're not a ride at an amusement park, understand? That's not the way God created sex to be. It's not supposed to be like that. You're undermining your own happiness when you live that way, when somebody lives that way. And so God created, it's not dirty, it's not filthy, it's not disgusting. you know, someone's going to get mad at me, but it's okay. But, you know, you got the big boy pants and the big girl. God, sex is godly. He created it. And if it's really done right, God could be a part of your marriage covenant like that. Because God will tell you how to make your spouse happy. Amen. In that atmosphere. I'm like, oh, Jesus, you're meddling now. But it's the truth. Because it is a pleasure that people misconceive and they get messed up. And so, you know, God isn't against, pleasure, nor is he against happiness. The problem is the priority of which comes first. And when we realize that pleasure over happiness, that's where there's a problem. When there's pleasure over happiness, right? When we prioritize pleasure over happiness, you get neither. It's got to be happiness over pleasure. Happiness leads to pleasure. Pleasure leads to having neither. Eventually, because here's why. Pleasure loses its pleasure and becomes a prison. You should see the difference. You know, it's the law of diminishing returns. It used to take half a glass, and then it's like a whole glass, and then it takes two glasses, and then three glasses, and then four glasses, and now you're yelling at people, and you don't even remember what happened the night before. The law of diminishing returns. Over time, every single legitimate pleasure, when it becomes the master in your life, pleasure loses its pleasure. And this includes whether something's legal or illegal. Moral or immoral. It's the truth. Maybe even some things that individuals don't even consider wrong. But if it's got a hold of you, that pleasure has a hold of you, you have locked yourself in a prison. When we prioritize any pleasure over happiness, all pleasure loses its pleasure. And that's how we get into trouble. When we are unhappy, we automatically want to do something that makes us feel better, right? We were unhappy. Oh, we're gonna eat that gallon of ice cream, you know, or we're gonna go shopping, right? I'm gonna go buy something. I need to go buy a boat. I need to go buy a gun. I need to go buy a car. I'm gonna go stop by and get this, or I'm gonna stop by and get that, or stop by and get so-and-so because I know they'll have some of what I need because I don't have to buy it on the street. If I just call him, I know she's gonna be there. I'm gonna call her, I'm going through something, so I need to find some kind of quick fix to make me happy for a few minutes. And so, it's a quick fix. And that's where there's that mess up is. Because when we allow ourselves to have quick fixes when it comes to that aspect of it, we're going to come up empty every single time. And that is when we make decisions that ultimately undermine our own happiness. In those moments when the pleasure becomes more important than the happiness, we make wrong decisions. We marry the wrong individual. We live with life consequences because of those things, because they really had us instead of us being on top of it. Romans 6:16, don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone or something as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? And Paul is saying, when you say yes to a pleasure over and over and over and over and over again, you don't realize that you are becoming a slave to that pleasure. After a certain point, you're not choosing that pleasure. You're being drawn in. You're being enticed in. And that's when it becomes you become a slave to that pleasure and you give up control. Don't, and I'm going to continue to read, the verse in 6:16. Whether you are slaves to sin, which lead to death. See, remember, the thing about sin, sin leads to death in all areas, spiritual death and physical death, which leads to death or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. All sin leads to death. Righteousness is right standing with God. So that's why Paul's saying you can't offer yourself up as a slave to pleasure or sin, or you offer yourself up and you can't offer yourself up to pleasure as a slave or to sin, but offer yourselves up in obedience to your heavenly Father, what He desires. So I'm going to end with this. I'm going to ask you a question. And I want you to think about it. It's a rhetorical answer, but I do want you to answer it honestly, okay? Now, I don't want your spouse to answer it for you. I want you to answer it honestly, okay? You sit there and you think about it, because if you answer honestly, it's going to help you. And so that's why I want you to answer it in your head, how to help you to start to choose between happiness and pleasure. Because some people are like, yeah, I love this. This is preaching great, pastor. And some people are like, I've never seen it like this before. This makes so much sense to me. And you're hearing this maybe with fresh ears. And it's maybe answering a lot of questions in your life. But ask yourself this, everybody. I even ask myself this. Is there a pleasure that's undermining your happiness? Is there a pleasure that is undermining your happiness? Legal or illegal? Sin or not sin? Is there a pleasure? Be honest with yourself. I mean, you don't have to do anything about it, but just be honest with yourself. Because then this way, the thing about understanding that, that with that pleasure, it'll slowly take you prisoner. I just want to give you like a little spoiler alert. You ever see those movies where they talk about spoilers? Or the TV show, there's a spoiler, I'm going to give you a spoiler. When it comes to choosing pleasure and becoming a slave to that, one day you're going to wish that you had not walked into that prison. One day you're going to look back and wonder why you're so unhappy. One day you'll have to come back to a heart-hurting conclusion that you had become your own worst enemy in your life. And I'll tell you what, I don't want to stand before God. I've asked Jesus in my heart. The Bible says, no man comes to the Father. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me. You must be born again. It's not about being good. It's not about being nice to people. It's not being happy all the time. That doesn't get you into heaven. Jesus said, one way gets you into heaven, and that's you must be born again. So, when I get to heaven, I know I'm going to heaven just as I know my name is John Mazza. John Mazza, I don't have a middle name. And so, they couldn't decide on a middle name. So I got stuck with zero, zip, nothing, zilch. So it's just straight up John Mazza, And so, John Mazza goes to heaven, and I know that I'm going to be in heaven just like my name is John Mazza. And I don't want to stand before Jesus and say, you were worse than the devil in your own life. How do I say it like this? You were more of a problem for your own self than the devil was for you. You were your own biggest challenge. And I'm like, I don't want that to happen. When God has given so much up by giving His only Son, if the music ministry would make their way up. And today, perhaps it changes for you in being happy and understanding, wow, okay, I did not realize this. I didn't see it in this light. I didn't see it from this perspective. The Bible says there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Man, it's just, that's the thing. That's the great thing about the Bible. That's the great thing about God is that, you know, he's just like, you know, oh my gosh, you're such a loser. I can't believe you. And then pushes you off to the side. No, he's like, now you see it. Let me help you get through this so you can live a happy, the best life that you can live. That's the kind of love that he has. Perhaps you today is the day that you walk out of that prison. Today is when you get woke, as the teenagers say. You woke, right? Now you get woke to the things of God. You get woke to that. You know, I told you the story of my dad. You know, when he's coming, he hooked up with a church and he was thriving. You know, and the reason why I saw and I noticed that it was because of this. How many of you know that each and every one of us has a weakness, right? Some of us have a few. You know, and everyone, there's a fictional story. Everyone knows who Superman is, right? This fictional character, Superman, right? I mean, you know, a lot of us know his story. You know, before his parent, I mean, his planet exploded into a million pieces, right? Superman's father wanted to save his baby boy, so he put him in a spaceship. Fictional story, obviously, you know it, right? He sent him to Earth. He knew his son had a great destiny. But the one thing that could weaken him is kryptonite. It's pieces of his past home planet, right? And so these, you know, in the comics, these bad guys, or in the movies, the bad guys would get a hold of this kryptonite that would weaken him, and it would stop him from, like, doing good, from inspiring hope, from making a difference in the world, from being all his father wanted him to be. And I stopped and I thought, that sounds really close to the children of God. The Bible says we're in this world, but we're not of this world. That the enemy wants to use your weakness, your kryptonite, to stop you from being happy, from doing good, from inspiring hope, from making a difference in this world, from being all your heavenly Father created you to be. He knows what your kryptonite is. And that's what he's going to try and entice you with. That's what you're going to try to this is going to lead you to pleasure. You deserve this. You've gone through hell in your life. Just, you know, it's okay to drink this. It's okay to do that. It's okay to watch this and click on that. You've gone through. You deserve it. And that's the ploy of the enemy, so that you are in shackles. And then that guilt comes in, that people find it so hard to shake in their life. And guilt are heavy shackles that stop us from running our race. Because what we don't do is we're like, I God can't use me like that. If you know my past, it don't matter. If I know it, God already knows it. And he is willing to forgive you of it if you just give it to him and let it go. That's why the blood of Jesus is so important, because the blood of Jesus, says, the Bible says that the blood of Jesus washes our sin away. Brand new start. You move the blood out. There's no sin underneath. It doesn't cover our sin. It washes it clean. And so God desires for you to be all that you possibly can be. But pieces, like Superman's home world, right? Pieces of his home world, kryptonite. What pieces of your past is the enemy trying to stop you with? From doing good, inspiring hope, making a difference in this world, being all who your heavenly Father created you to be. I'm telling you what, stop. It's time to stop being miserable and to choose joy and to be happy. Because ultimately, you are the one who chooses it. He can't choose it for you. And that's the great thing about God. He doesn't force himself. It's like, there it is. Every head bowed, every eye closed.